Hello, my friends. This is Dr. Beter in Washington. Today is March 29, 1979, and this is my AUDIO LETTER No. 44. It has now been 15 months since I first revealed in AUDIO LETTER No. 29 that a new Bolshevik revolution was getting underway here in the United States. Last month, I revealed that a Bolshevik coup d'état had just taken place, bloody and vicious, yet out of the public limelight. All four of the third-generation Rockefeller brothers are now dead, as are others who were close to them. Now America is being dragged along toward revolution, dictatorship, and war by the ad hoc gang of four, Brzezinski, Blumenthal, Brown, and Schlesinger. It was Schlesinger who said in the fall of 1975, quote, "Some years from now someone will raise the question, why weren't we warned? And I wanted to be able to say, indeed you were." Unquote. Now Schlesinger himself is working fast to help bring on the very disasters he warned us about. Can you imagine? 7 months ago in AUDIO LETTER No. 37, I spelled out the secret new strategy for an American nuclear first strike against Russia. And as I say these words, more and more parts of that plan are falling rapidly into place. At the same time, the Bolsheviks are trying to schedule coming events to bring on full-scale revolution here as their first priority. Then, with a stunned America in their iron grip, they intend to move us quickly into nuclear war with Russia. Already the plan I revealed last August for the Camp David summit to lead to an Egyptian-Israeli peace treaty has been accomplished. At the same time, Bolshevik control within the Vatican has brought about the drastic shift of the Roman Catholic Church to a strongly anti-Russian stance. Two popes, John Paul I and the real John Paul II, were murdered last fall by the Bolsheviks in the process, as I detailed in AUDIO LETTERS No. 39 and 41. The crucial importance of Red China and Iran in the plan I revealed last August has also caused both of them to undergo dramatic developments during the past 6 months. My friends, we are now at the crossroads. It is do or die for the satanic Bolsheviks, who will never turn back from their suicidal plans. It is also do or die for the survivors of the four Rockefeller brothers, the rest of the Rockefeller family, who are in mortal danger from the Bolsheviks. And my friends, it is do or die for us, for Christianity in the West, and for Western civilization itself. Many people today are now saying, "What can I do?" After you have heard this recording, you will have my suggestion as to what you can do. And I urge you to act quickly, because there is no time to be wasted. My three topics this month are: Topic No. 1, the hoax reappearance of Dr. Henry Kissinger. Topic No. 2, the impending collapse of the Chase Manhattan Bank. And Topic No. 3, the Egyptian-Israeli Treaty for Nuclear War. Topic No. 1, 2 months ago on the evening of January 26, the life of Nelson Rockefeller ended abruptly. As I revealed 5 days later in my AUDIO LETTER No. 42, he was murdered, shot once in the head. Last month I reported that Rockefeller's murder had been only the beginning of a pattern of events. The pattern is that of the Bolshevik purge, that is, a bloody yet secret coup d'état. In the space of only a few weeks, the secret rulership of the United States changed hands. The coup began on January 26, when, as the Bolsheviks put it, Nelson Rockefeller was liquidated. And by February the 17th, the coup d'état had been achieved, because by that date both David and Lawrence Rockefeller had also been executed. Meanwhile, the purge had also eliminated several persons who knew too much about Nelson Rockefeller's murder. These included Megan Marshak, Conchita Pierce, and Rockefeller family spokesman Hugh Morrow. But there was one disappearance last month that was not according to the Bolshevik game plan. As I reported in AUDIO LETTER No. 43, Dr. Henry Kissinger was to be the key man in the new Bolshevik power group. Kissinger had conspired with others for Nelson Rockefeller's murder and was positioning himself to pick up the reins of Rockefeller power. But on February 5, the private jet carrying Henry and Nancy Kissinger with their 5 bodyguards from London to the United States disappeared over the North Atlantic. I can now reveal that the Kissinger jet suffered a mid-air explosion. The crippled airplane crashed into the sea at the navigational coordinates 54 degrees, 40 minutes, 57 seconds north, 26 degrees, 40 minutes, 0 seconds west. No one escaped from the plane, the remnants of which sank in approximately 8,000 feet of water. The exact fate of the Kissinger jet was not immediately known last month, but it did soon become obvious that Kissinger was gone for good. As a result, the Bolsheviks here in America were thrown into turmoil. The plans Kissinger had helped set in motion to dispose of the Rockefellers were carried forward. Meanwhile, the ad hoc Gang of Four emerged as the guiding force of the secret new Bolshevik revolution here in America. These 4 men have only a small fraction of the power formerly wielded by the 4 Rockefeller brothers, but they are very dangerous men indeed. These men are National Security Chief Zbigniew Brzezinski, Treasury Secretary W. Michael Blumenthal, Defense Secretary Harold Brown, and Energy Secretary James Schlesinger. Together, they are working feverishly toward a complete takeover of America's industry, banking, agriculture, everything. And beyond that, their goal is nuclear war with Russia, an act of national suicide for the rest of us. As of now, the Bolshevik coup d'état, that is, the change in ruling circles, has already been accomplished. What still lies ahead is the full-fledged open revolution to transform American society as a whole into a Bolshevik hell. Using the excuse of a deliberate war crisis in the Middle East and resulting oil shortages, the Bolsheviks plan to start closing down American freedoms in a declared national emergency. From there, the Bolshevik grip around our necks will steadily tighten, gradually choking and strangling us into total submission. As the last gasp of free air is squeezed from our lungs, the blackness of Bolshevik dictatorship will gather itself around us. Then those who have been content to wait and see will realize too late that it can happen here. In AUDIO LETTER 14, I describe some of the valuable lessons the 4 Rockefeller brothers had learned from their clandestine support of Adolf Hitler. One of these lessons was that a revolution is best carried out with, and not against, the full power of a nation's government, and that lesson is not lost on the Bolsheviks here in America, the former allies of the Rockefeller brothers. Using the excuse of crisis conditions, they will use their governmental authority for revolutionary purposes. Businesses large and small will be nationalized as the Bolsheviks take over America's means of production. The banks will be closed, cutting off access of millions of people to their life savings. Both corporate and private farms, ranches, orchards, and vineyards will be taken away from their owners nationwide and collectivized. Engineers of all types will be put to work wherever the government puts them, in all-out preparation for war, and the prelude to this is already visible in the job market of today. People without special skills will be herded like cattle from one location to another for agricultural or other tasks, and millions who are troublesome for various reasons will be sent to concentration camps, of which 13 already exist in America in various states of condition. These things, my friends, are what the Bolsheviks, including the new ad hoc Gang of Four, have in mind for us very soon. All they have to do is to hold on to their present power until the coming Middle East crisis unties their hands. Until then, they cannot unleash the dictatorial emergency powers they want, and so they are vulnerable. While they are waiting for their hour to come, They know they must not let the American public realize anything about the Bolshevik coup d'etat that has taken place. Last month I revealed intelligence that the disappearances of Henry and Nancy Kissinger, David and Lawrence Rockefeller, and others were all connected to the Bolshevik coup d'etat. So the Bolsheviks dare not let you know that any of these people have dropped out of sight. That is why I said last month, quote, "Doubles or look-alikes may begin to appear on the scene for these people." What is amazing, especially in the case of Kissinger, is that they have been able to stifle public questions for so long in his absence, unquote. During the past month or so, the Bolsheviks have been orchestrating a careful campaign using the major media to deceive the American public. And sure enough, doubles are being used as part of this deception campaign. Falsified stories are being planted in the news media, both with and without the knowledge of those who publish the stories. One day it may be just a sentence or two in a society column, alleging that Henry Kissinger showed up at a social gathering without saying where or when. A day or two later, a different newspaper may print a story alleging that Megan Marshak is looking for a new job here in Washington. The picture that accompanies the story is one of the same old file photos we have been seeing for 2 months. Several times, however, a double has been used. Then an item appears about Ponchita Pierce with a supposedly new photo, but you are not told that the person in the photo is only a look-alike. The real Ponchita Pierce is dead of a bullet in the head. And then, of course, once in a while there has to be a low-key item in the news about David Rockefeller. In his case, a very good double has been on the job since late February, and he appears occasionally in photos. One example of this took place on February 27, when the David Rockefeller double spoke before the Staten Island Chamber of Commerce. He had never spoken there before, and so his audience never suspected that this man was not David Rockefeller. The next day, the New York Times ran a brief news item about the talk, complete with a small photograph of the David Rockefeller double at the lectern. But of all the disappearances I revealed last month, by far the most dangerous to the Bolsheviks is that of Dr. Henry Kissinger. For many years, Kissinger was highly visible to the American public. Anytime a major new development takes place in international relations, Americans expect to see Kissinger giving his comments on television. His name is a household word, and his distinctive face and guttural voice are recognized instantly by millions. These factors would have made Kissinger a great asset to his fellow Bolsheviks if he had lived. But now these very same factors are presenting the Bolsheviks with a difficult problem. Of all the missing persons, it is Kissinger whose prolonged absence from public view would be noticed first by Americans. And yet, he is also very difficult to imitate successfully enough to pass the test of prolonged television interviews with close-up shots. And so up to now, the use of the double is only a secondary factor in the Bolshevik cover-up of Kissinger's disappearance. In recent weeks, a well-tanned double for Kissinger was dispatched to Acapulco, Mexico, to lend credence to the cover story that he was vacationing there. He has also shown up elsewhere, mingling with people who do not know him well, and even speaking to such groups of people. This is the man who was seen momentarily on television 3 days ago in connection with the signing of the Egyptian-Israeli Treaty in Washington. As the television cameras gave us a brief, instant look at this man hugging Egypt's President Sadat, we were told, "That's Henry Kissinger," quote unquote. In ways like this, the Kissinger double is playing an important role now. But the big problem facing the Bolsheviks is the television interview problem. And so far, they have not been able to produce a double who is capable of completely solving that problem. So instead, they have recently concocted a different kind of hoax using the little-known technical tools of television itself. In a moment, I'll describe in detail how a television hoax has just been perpetrated by the Bolsheviks. The purpose of this hoax is to trick you into believing that Henry Kissinger, after disappearing for over a month, has miraculously reappeared. They will stop at nothing to make you believe this, my friends, because in order to believe that Kissinger is alive, you must disbelieve what I told you last month about his permanent disappearance on February 5. That means you will also disbelieve what I told you about the other secret deaths and disappearances last month. And that means, in turn, that you will refuse to believe that a Bolshevik coup d'etat has taken place here in America. And so, my friends, you are faced with a clear choice upon which your freedom and your life depend. One choice is to keep your mind open to what I have told you, that Kissinger is dead, and decide whether the fast-growing crisis atmosphere makes sense in that light. Your only other choice is to believe what the Bolsheviks want you to believe, that is, that Kissinger is alive because, quote, "I saw him on television," unquote. Your decision about what you believe in this situation is so important that I cannot stress it enough. So before I describe the Kissinger television hoax itself, I believe it is essential that I give you some background for what is going on now. There is nothing new about doubles, hoaxes, and trickery by those who control the mass media. Many people think that a double is an exotic, rare occurrence, but actually doubles are relatively easy to find for those who specialize in that field. For example, in Hollywood, California, there is an agency called Celebrity Lookalikes, Incorporated, run by Ron Smith. The agency provides lookalikes for all kinds of public figures for entertainment purposes. They have over 400 lookalikes, including one for Kissinger, and not one but two lookalikes for Jimmy Carter. One Carter lookalike is named Ed Beeler from Waco, Texas. The other, named Walter Hannon, is from Los Angeles. Both look so much like Carter that most people can't tell the difference. Not long ago, Bob Hope illustrated this fact when he wrote to Ed Beeler, quote, "Dear Ed, thanks for bringing the Jimmy Carter look and your talent to NBC for the all-star comedy tribute to Vaudeville special. May I say your presence was somewhat unnerving. After your appearance on the set, three of the pages left immediately to pay their back taxes," unquote. But doubles and other hoaxes are not always so entertaining. Since medieval times, doubles have been used as an instrument of intrigue. History is replete with the exploits of imposters who have taken the place of the rich and the powerful, and often they have been remarkably successful. If all of this is new to you, I urge you to do your own library research. For example, one of the latest books on the whole area of hoaxes was published in 1977 by Reader's Digest. It's called The Pleasures of Deception by Norman Moss. Chapter 4 of the book deals with a topic that is specially relevant here, that is, hoaxes perpetrated by means of the mass media. It begins, quote, "With the creation of the mass media, a whole new area of deception was opened up. This provided the means of fooling the whole public at the same time in the same way. Anything told through the mass media carries credibility. It is more solid than rumor, more respectable than gossip, more believable than hearsay," unquote. A few lines further on, the author points out that people tend to just swallow what they read, saying, quote, "The newspapers say so-and-so," unquote. He might have added, quote, "I saw it on television," unquote. The psychological key to all this is explained in the words, quote, "This authority stems partly from the fact that the media, and particularly the news media, deal with public issues that are beyond the experience of most of its audience," unquote. In other words, if we don't know any better, we just believe what we are told. Still, you may say, surely the great major media of the United States are not used for really serious distortions. It just couldn't happen here. Well, my friends, it began happening here over 80 years ago. I've pointed out on several past occasions that America began selling her soul at the time of the build-up to the Spanish-American War. Spain was dragged into war by the United States, and American public opinion eagerly welcomed the war. The Hearst newspaper chain deliberately whipped up American passions to the point where the cries of "Remember the Maine" led America into a national crime against Spain. Later on, the gross distortions and outright lies by the Hearst media came out publicly, but by then the damage was done, and the American public did not cry out in anger over the trickery, nor insist that we make amends to Spain. Instead, we were too puffed up over being suddenly a world power. With that, we began to blind ourselves to the dangers of media lies. It has gotten worse and worse, and we have become more and more blind. The major media have fallen ever more completely under centralized control and have become increasingly powerful and ruthless. In June 1972, a national scandal called Watergate began, and from start to finish it was orchestrated by the controlled major media. The media script to destroy First Vice President Spiro Agnew and then President Richard Nixon was incredibly detailed. For example, beginning early in 1973, I was able to reveal on radio talk shows all over America that the face of Spiro Agnew was scheduled to appear on the covers of Time and Newsweek for the week of August 13, 1973. That was to be the signal for Agnew to be cut down fast by scandal. Everything went off exactly as planned. Agnew did appear on the covers of Time and Newsweek, right on schedule, and less than 3 months later he left office under the cloud of scandal. I have revealed more about the Watergate scandal in the past, and there's no time to review all of that again now. The point is this. The controlled major media of the United States have proven themselves to be powerful enough to bring on a war or to end a presidency. And now they are under the control of the international Bolsheviks, the most diabolical, crafty, and ruthless people ever to stalk the earth. Regardless of the other details, their schemes always have one key ingredient in common. That is to instill trust in their intended victims until the moment of vicious attack. And that, my friends, is what they are trying to do to you now by means of their television hoax about Henry Kissinger's seeming reappearance. The Kissinger television hoax began early this month, March 1979. My audio letter number 43 had been recorded on February 28 and began reaching subscribers the first few days of this month. Within days, the Bolsheviks began their counterattack in an effort to discredit what I had revealed about Kissinger's disappearance. As a preliminary step, an interview of Kissinger was shown on the NBC Today show of March the 9th. Jimmy Carter was then in the midst of his trip to Egypt and Israel, and the topic of the NBC interview with Kissinger was the Middle East. And yet, Kissinger made no reference to the Carter trip then underway. Instead, he spoke in generalities that were months out of date. Many viewers all over the United States recognized the interview segment as having been shown before by NBC, and many stations received complaining telephone calls about it. But the Today Show episode was only a stopgap measure. The master hoax took place just 4 days ago on the NBC television interview program Meet the Press. My friends, the history of Meet the Press is like the story of America's entire network of major media news sources in miniature. Meet the Press was started as a radio show here in Washington in the late 40s by my friend of 30 years, Martha Roundtree. As a highly intelligent woman and a real patriot, Martha Roundtree ran Meet the Press in such a way that it truly informed Americans with all sides of an issue. But in the late 50s, She was pressured into selling Meet the Press, which quickly lost its former award-winning quality. Meanwhile, she found herself systematically blackballed from introducing any fresh news programs anywhere in the broadcast media. Just as happened to me a decade later, Martha Roundtree was discriminated against and locked out. And just as I am doing now, she has for some time been informing Americans as best she can by other means. For those who would like to know more, you may write to her at Leadership Foundation, Box 1720, Washington, D.C., Zip 20013. Her current project is called, quote, Proposition 1, The Great Awakening, and it is a program to restore the moral and spiritual values to our nation. You can receive a free brochure about it if you will enclose a stamped, self-addressed business envelope with your letter. Returning to Meet the Press, control recently passed to NBC itself. Unlike individual radio and television stations, the networks are completely unregulated by the FCC. Now, Meet the Press has joined other network programming as a vehicle of propaganda answerable to no one. This past Sunday, March 25, NBC fed a Meet the Press program to affiliated stations nationwide, featuring Henry Kissinger as the guest. And my friends, that was the real Henry Kissinger answering questions. But in exactly the same way, the real Clark Gable was also seen on television recently in Gone with the Wind. Both men looked alive on television, but in actuality, both men are dead. But, my friends, the Meet the Press program of last Sunday was much more than a mere rerun of an old tape. It was carefully doctored so that Kissinger appeared to be answering new and up-to-date questions. When you hear how it was done, I believe you will understand why there were so many strange things about that program. And you will also see that NBC went to a great deal of trouble to produce an artificial and falsified edition of Meet the Press last Sunday. It had only one purpose, and that was to deceive you.